Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Welcome again to Spectrum. It's author time again. We have so many wonderful people that have written everything from books to cookbooks to plays and such that have been on Spectrum. We have someone who's actually right from the New York City Chinatown community. We have Henry Chang. Welcome to Spectrum.
Well, thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
Let's get a little backstory on your early life. Tell us where you were born, where you grew up. Let's get the first 10 or 15 years of your life out of the way here.
Well, mostly Manhattan, born and raised, and spent most of my those years in Chinatown. In fact, most of my life in Chinatown. Just a great community. And, of course, it went through a lot of changes. But, yeah, mostly in Chinatown.
Where did your family come from? How did they get to Chinatown initially? And what route did they take to get there?
Right. My parents, like most of the other people in Manhattan's Chinatown, are from the South. They're Cantonese. My father and my mother both from Guangdong province. Mm-hmm. And they came early on in the, my father came in the 20s, my mother in the 40s after the war. For most of that time, we've been in Chinatown.
Chinatown, as you just mentioned, has changed a lot over the years. And I might mention to our listeners that you've written a number of different books. Most, if not all of them, that I've come across have to do with, thematically anyway, Chinatown. When did you decide you wanted to write about it?
Well, when I was in college, I was dabbling in journalism and decided ultimately that wasn't my thing. But at that time, it was like the most violent period in Chinatown history. So I'd be going to college, CCNY, during the daytime, and then come back down to the neighborhood at night, and there'd be all this craziness that happens, people getting shot and people fighting and being assaulted, and the youth gangs and the Tong crime, and just the criminal underbelly was happening so much at that time that I said, I'm living this stuff. I should be writing about it. Nobody else is. And all we were getting were these stereotypical, you know, little presentations.
So tell me about the series of books that you've written. Fill our audience in case they haven't read any of your material before. You have dealt primarily in murder mysteries, you know, dark underbelly side. Tell us about your series of books.
Right. Well, the first book that was discovered by Soho Press in 2006, featuring Chinese-American NYPD detective Jack Yu. They saw it as something that was exotic and foreign, not the kind of Chinatown that I knew. And the story is set up by one of the few Chinese-American detectives returns to his own neighborhood, Chinatown, reluctantly, just to be closer to his dying father. Under any other circumstances, he doesn't want to come back to the old neighborhood. He's got too much history there. Some of his old friends have become gangsters. And he knows the Chinese community, the people, don't really trust the cops. They don't like the cops. And he knows every manner of Chinatown crime is going to come his way. So when he comes back to the old neighborhood, sure enough, everything hits the fan. Mm-hmm. And that's the first book. So in the second book, for all the reasons in the first book, he's no longer in the Fifth Precinct, Chinatown. But he's still near enough. He's Lower East Side, the Ninth Precinct. But every time it seems there's an Asian or a Chinese crime, they call him back in. Mm-hmm. And so he never seems to get away. In the third book, Red Jade, I have him tying up some loose ends from the first two books that were open cases. So that takes him to another Chinatown outside of New York. And there are so many Chinatowns, I've decided, you know, sometimes I'm going to take him on the road and sometimes I'll bring him back.
Sure.
But in the fourth book, Death Money, I've brought him back to his old stomping grounds. It seems like that was what people wanted. And so I brought him back.
The next question is, after having read Death Money, where did the cop lingo and the cop jargon come from? What's your influence? I mean, we understand the Chinese Chinatown influence, but he's more cop than he is Chinese, probably, in his head. How did you pick up on all of that? And how accurate are you based upon people you've spoken with that actually are cops that are work in the department?
A lot of stuff ripped from the headlines and from loosely based on people that I've known, good cops and bad cops, as far as the lingo and the police procedural kind of effect goes. I've talked about people who retired from the job And of course, there weren't that many Chinese cops to interview to refer to. You know, so that particular genre, building a story around a skeleton of a police investigation, was something that appealed to me early on. You know, so naturally I had some Chinese cop friends that I referred to. But most of it was taken from when I was starting to hang out in that Chinatown underbelly, going to the bars and the gambling houses and meeting some of these good cops, bad cops, and talking to them and just living this atmosphere. And that's really where it comes from.
Of course, Chinatown, for those folks who are not from New York, butts right up against our legal monolithic buildings in Lower Manhattan. The Tombs Jail is right there. You've got the courthouses. It's a target-rich environment if you're trying to find a cop in Chinatown. You don't have far to walk.
That is so correct. I mean, at the Fifth Precinct that is nearby, you've got the federal buildings, you've got the federal police, you've got the city police, you've got the corrections police. It is very rich, and I draw from that all the time.
I haven't read all of your books. I've only gotten through Death Money, but, you know, if you cross Canal Street, you're pretty much in Little Italy, and that's not without its underbelly and crime scene. Is there any conflicts over these years between the north side and the south side of Canal Street?
Well, of course, you know, the Little Italy community still remains one of the big... You know, when you come down and visit all the old neighborhoods, when it's a tourist destination, you're going to come to Little Italy, Chinatown, Lower East Side. So the communities continue to exist, even though Little Italy now is really just a shadow of what it formerly was because most of the Italians have left. As far as the neighborhood goes, there have never really been any direct conflicts. Of course, they've had the Feast of San Gennaro, and when the Italian community shrunk a lot, it was a question of, well, why does it come down into, you know, below Canal Street, there's no more Italians down there. And, you know, and there was some, you know, complaint about that. And after a while, you know, the feast no longer comes south of Canal Street. You know, so, you know, things seem to, you know, coexist and work out over the years.
But conversely, the Chinatown Lunar New Year Parade goes north of Canal Street now, quite a bit deeper than it did once upon a time.
Yes.
Up and around Christie Street and Elizabeth Street and around those other little neighborhoods. Our guest on Spectrum this week is Henry Chang. His latest book is called Death Money. He's written a series of mystery novels. Why the mystery genre? Is that something that appealed to you in your previous reading? Or did you like old film noir movies, black and white, from that era where everybody smoked cigarettes and lived in Art Deco hotels?
You know, I do love that era. But I think that came second. I think the first thing was hanging out in the Chinatown underbelly, which was always at night till like 4 and 5 in the morning. So that's where the noir came in. Everything was dark. Everything was gritty. You're hanging out with gang people and in unsavory places. And that was really the noir of it. When I later on I found that voice, that noir voice, yeah, it's kind of like Bogart. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like those old movies where they were tough guys and you know, and those kind of situations that were kind of mysterious and dark, and you had to try to get through the surface before you found out what was going on. And so I want to take you beneath the surface.
As I was wandering through the pages of Death Money, I noticed you have an extensive vocabulary of adjectives. You don't just put one word in front of something. You put three or four. You know, it's not just a dark night. It's a dark, cold, rainy, dreary, hear the water dripping into the sewer night. Where did the art come from, the picture you paint when you write? Did you have any styles that you followed or any mentors?
Well, first from the classic mystery writers like, and funny thing, I got a kick out of being compared to the Dashiell Hammett.
Yeah, I was just thinking Dashiell Hammett, yeah.
I've been called the Dashiell Hammett of Chinatown, which I really got a kick out of. But early on, I read most of Agatha Christie's books, and later on Raymond Chandler, and of course Hammett and Spillane and some of the others. But early on, Agatha Christie taught me something about how to plot, how to make a setting, understanding your setting. Raymond Chandler, the whole thing of voice, as well as Hammett. And once I found that voice, how to tell that story from the perspective of a Chinese cop who speaks two different languages, once I became comfortable with that, it was just, you know, I was off to the races.
your lead player speaks Cantonese. That's his main language. However, these days we're getting a lot more Mandarin-speaking people Correct. In the environment. Are you going to be incorporating a new Mandarin warlord or underlord or something at some point to bring the other half of the Chinese community into the play?
Well, that could happen.
I don't want to race ahead here, but
right. In fact, in this book, Death Money, I've put more Mandarin phrases than in any of the other three books.
As someone who's been studying Mandarin for a couple of years, and I'm around the language frequently with either my employees or with the events or with the music here at the radio station, I am now accustomed to seeing the English version of Chinese words written in pinyin. Mm-hmm. Rather than in phonetic English, and right, you use right. phonetic English.
Yes.
You're going to switch to pinyin at some point, so those of us who are studying the language will know exactly what the words are that you're trying to tell us?
Well, the character of Detective Jack Yu is Southern, and so most of where he's informed from is going to be Cantonese. But in his investigations, he finds that he's encountering more and more Mandarin-speaking people, so I think that's inevitable that I introduce more of that. I have no problem with pinyin. I mean, when I was in college, I was learning, what was it, Wales Giles Cantonese. sure, I'd love to do a take on a language.
Mm-hmm.
Mandarin, I think I can play with that a whole lot of ways.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah. Open up to, a new market. Speaking of market, what do your reader profile look like? Who goes out and buys a Henry Chang mystery?
Well, for the most part, and I'm really grateful to them, it's the mystery audience, mystery crime fiction audience, because Soho Press kind of prides itself on these exotic settings, and nothing in America. The stories are set in France and, Norway. And so why Chinatown? Because they thought that, well, Chinatown was this foreign, somehow familiar, but somehow very foreign setting.
You're in New York. You live here in New York. Your stories are set in New York. As an author, you must get invited to speak frequently, I would guess. And as you mentioned, you took your character to another Chinatown. Do you get to other Chinatowns? Do people there read your books? And do they have the same problems in all the Chinatowns in America, or is this unique to New York?
Well, no, it's not unique to New York, and I've been in most of the, I wouldn't say most, but L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, Vancouver, New York, of course, Boston, Philly, Washington, a lot of Chinatowns, and I've been to most of them. And each one has kind of a distinct history. If English is not your first language, you're not going to buy too many of my books.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the stories are about you, and they are yours, the stories of the immigrants as well. And I belong to an organization called the Organization Chinese Americans. So I do travel sometimes from Chinese community to Chinese community, and it really gives me a great sense of diversity, even in our own communities. And each one has a different history and maybe somewhat technically different problems, but I think culturally the problems and the connections are the same.
Our guest on Spectrum is Henry Chang. His latest book is called Death Money, and before we let you go here today, I wanted to get your crystal ball, look into the future a little bit. As the world becomes more and more diverse, do you see your character on a TV series, in a movie? What's around the corner for Jack?
The rights to all the books have been optioned, and it's been in development for a number of years now. So, I always have my fingers crossed. It's a long way from the option to the big screen or the small screen, but it's been developed for a TV series. There's some interest from China now. Of course, there's a big market in China, and they're looking to do some production. So I'm hopeful, that will really sell a lot more books and create work for some actors. And
have you done any translations? Have there been any translations of your books in other languages?
No. Recently, this particular book, Death Money, is now an audio book. It's been translated. Chinatown Beat, my first book, has been translated into Italian. Of all languages.
Okay.
What a shocker that was.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping we can somehow get it translated into Chinese and have it, have it circulate in the East, in China, in Taiwan. And so we'll see.
Anyway, our guest is Henry Chang. Again, his latest book is Death Money. And if people like to find out more about you or more about your book or read an excerpt, do you have a web address? You have someplace we can find you?
Yes, my website is ChinatownTrilogy.com. And you can also go to Soho Press and look me up as an author. And there's some great digital media behind that.
Well, it's been great meeting you. I'm surprised we haven't met by now, but you're apparently heading in the right direction. I hope you'll come back and check in with us when you have some new stories to report. We'd like to keep up with what's going on.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me. I'd love to come back if, you have me another time.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.